Good. We're in the middle of a Mishnah. Okay. We're going to start 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15 lines from the end of the page. Okay, the Mishnah was speaking, certain Beis Dins, you need 3, certain Beis Dins, you have 23, certain Beis Dins, you need this big Beis Din of 71. Monetary things, all those types of things, 3 is enough. Malkus, 3 is enough. If you have capital punishment, then you need 23. Giving smicha, which was the ordination from Moshe Rabbeinu on, was enough 3. Okay, then it says like this. Ein danin leis ha-shevet. We don't judge a tribe. And the case over there is that the majority of the tribe worshipped idols. So then the din is you judge them by the whole tribe. Sometimes you have to destroy the tribe. Or a false prophet. Or a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol that did something wrong. Okay, if he committed a capital offense, so then out of respect to the Kohen Gadol, LLP Bezin shall shivim ve'echad. Then you have to do it in the Bezin of 71.
This is not Ir HaNidachah?
No, we're not done. Next, soon coming up Ir
HaNidachah. The Levim,
we're not, Michigan State. Very Mitzil, Mechametz Rishutz, you can go out to an optional battle, LLP Bezin shall shivim ve'echad. In other words, in order, if the Jews want to go out to conquer more land, let's say, so that the Beis Din of 71 has to decide that they're allowed to do it.
King by himself can't.
No. A Mesif and Aliyah Vala Azaris, you don't add to the city of Yerushalayim if you want to make Yerushalayim bigger, because then you're adding more Kedusha. Or you want to make the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, bigger. It could have to be Alpi Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'echad, the Beis Din of 71. A Nation Sanhedrin Sishvatim, you can't make Sanhedrin for the lower cities. In other words, in order to establish a big court in a regular city of 23, you need the big Beis Din from Yerushalayim to go out to that city to establish the Beis Din. That's what the Mishnah says.
When did all this stop happening?
What?
When did all this
all happened in time of the Beis HaMikdash.
When did it stop?
Middle of the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Ein eis in Ir HaNidachas. There's the case in the Chumash that if a whole city goes and worships idols, so you have to go and make a cheshbon and then you destroy the whole city and everything in it. So that decision has to be made by a Beis Din of 71. Another thing, the Mishnah goes off a little bit about the amount of the Beis Din, and the Gemara, the Mishnah says like this. Don't make an Ir HaNidachas by Besvar, by a port city. Because the din is like this. You have to destroy the whole Ir HaNidachas. Destroy it completely. Now, a port city is an opening for enemies to come. They come by boat, right? Didn't have the Coast Guard in those days. They come by boat. If the city is civilized, so then they fight if they come. But if the city is burnt to the ground, they have a foot into the country already, and that can pose a danger to the rest of the country. So therefore, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to make Ir HaNidachas next to a port. V'lei Sholish, and you can't make 3 Ir HaNidachas at the same time. Aval Eisen Achas Ishtaim, you can make 1 or 2 that they can be designated. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain later what that means.
What's the difference between this and the Shevet?
Ir HaNidachas is a city.
I understand, but the Shevet, the whole Shevet is the whole area also.
Yeah, but it could be a Shevet in the middle. You don't destroy the whole Eretz Yisrael.
I know that area.
Right, so the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what happens. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Sanhedrin Gedolei, the Mishnah is going to say again a statement and then proof from Pesukah. How do we know Beis Din is 71? How do we know capital punished Beis Din is 23? Like, where do we learn this out from? So it says like this. Sanhedrin Gedolei, Ha'itzah Shel Shivim Ve'echad. The big Sanhedrin was 71. Uktana shel esem v'shleisha, and a small one was 23. So Gemara says, minayin legdeila she shel shuvim v'echad. How do we know a big Beis Din is 71? Where do we get this figure from? Shenema, it says, in fact, in yesterday's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews complained about the beef, and the Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't handle these Jews anymore. So what did Hashem tell him? As for Yeshivim Ish Mezikna Yisro, get 70 elders. Umesha Gabeim, and Mesha was on top of them, so there's 71. 70, the Pasuk says, gather me 70 elders, they'll take over as the leadership, and then you become your number 71. So from there we learn the big business 71. Rabbi Yehuda argues, and he says that Shivim, it's only 70. Meaning, he argues, okay, he says, even without Mesha, the Torah makes 70. Ayatzi equal Bezdin, and you can't have it. We'll see that later. But Rabbi Yehuda holds the big Bezdin was not 71, it was 70. How do we know that a small bezdin for capital punishment is 23? Where do we get that figure from? So Gemara says like this. When it comes to capital punishment, the Torah says, v'shavtu ha'eda, the congregation shall judge, v'yitzilu ha'eda, and the congregation will try to find saving. In other words, they'll try to save them. Okay? Now, eda shefetes, Ve'eda Matzelis. The community judges and a community saves. Arei Kan Esrim. Okay, so here you have 20. In other words, like this, when it comes to capital punishment, the Torah says you need an Eda, a community to judge, and you need a community to find favor. Now, the Gemara is going to explain right now, an Eda is 10 people. So if the Torah says the Eda should judge and the Eda should save, that's 10 and 10, is 20. So the Gemara, it goes in the middle and says, Minayin le'eda shi asara. How do we know a community, how do we know, this is basically, how do we know a minion is 10 people? Shenema, because it says, by the spies, Admos le'eda haro azeis. How much, it says, how much longer will this evil congregation make problems? Now, how many evil spies were there? 10. Because Yeshua and Kalev, which were in this parsha, were good. So it says, Yotzi Yeshua v'Kalev, exclude Yeshua and Kalev. So therefore, how much is an Edom? 10. So the Torah says, so the Gemara just went off a second. So you see, an Edom is 10 people. So the Torah says, the Edom should judge, and the Edom should save. So that's 20. Now, how do I know you need another 3? Because we said 23. So here we learn out 20. How do you know you need another 3? Mimash meshenemer says, Leisiyach re'rabim lorois. You're not to follow majority to convict. Shemeyani sheyayim l'teva. So I learned from here that to acquit, you could go by the majority of one. Imkein lomenemer ach re'rabim lahatis. Why does it say to go for good by the majority? Let me explain. The Torah says like this. You don't follow a majority for bad, meaning to find guilty. Another pasuk says, you follow the majority for good. Now, if the Torah says, you don't follow a majority for bad, it's obvious that for good you do. Correct? The Torah says, you don't follow a majority to kill somebody. But it means, therefore, for good, you do go by the majority. So why does the Torah have to say you follow the majority for good? It's an extra pasuk. It's understood. If the Torah says you don't follow majority for bad, that means for good, you do follow majority. So why does the Torah have to say explicitly for good you follow the majority? So the Mishnah is saying, because it teaches us the majority of good is different than the majority of bad. What does it mean, in other words? For good, to acquit somebody, one is enough. To harm somebody, to guilt somebody, you need a majority of two. Okay, so the Gemara is saying another premise. Therefore, based on what we learned last week, if you have a Bezdin of 23 to kill, right? So if 12 say innocent, and 11 say guilty, the guy's innocent. Because that's a majority of one for good. What happens if 12 say guilty and 11 say innocent? You can't kill him. Because the Torah says you don't go by majority one for bad, right? So therefore, you would need 13 and 10. Correct?
Yes.
Because you can't have it any other way.
So
now, one minute. Not the new mistrial Torah. Leit katiyos chaluteva, that the way you turn in favor, you don't tilt for evil. Hatiyos chaluteva, to turn for favor to a crit, api eirachot. You could do what based on one. Hatiyos chalura, at least to do a double majority. Now, so therefore we have like this. Vein bezdin shakul, and you cannot have an equal amount of court, therefore you make 23. He says like this. The Torah says 20 and 20. 10 and 8 on 8, right? That, so we know for sure 20. Now, you need a majority of 2, so you really should have 22. But then it's an equal bezdin. So therefore you must have 23. So this, in other words, the Gemara, the Mishnah, how do we know you need the big bezdin 71? Because it says 70 elders, and Meshach Rabbeinu was in 71. Rabbi Yehuda holds 70. So Gemara said, how do we know, the Mishnah said, how do we know a small bezdin is 23? To give capital punishment. So it says, Eidon Eidon is 10 and 10 is 20. Then you need a majority of at least 2, so you need 22. But you can't have an equal bezdin, so it's 23. So from there we learn that a bezdin to kill is 23. The minimal size of a bezdin. What?
How do you know you can't have just 21 judges and still go within the road of 9 to 12?
Because the fact that the Torah is saying you need a majority of 2, it means to add on another 2. That's the way the Gemara learns.
So why can't you go below Eidon? 9 and 12.
Yeah.
Right.
Low
Ada. I mean, regardless, you're
going to
have more than
10. I understand. That's what he's asking, basically.
Yeah.
So why can't you have 20? Why can't you have 21?
Yeah.
And you might still have a majority. But it seems that if the Torah says 10 find guilty, 10 find innocent. Correct?
Yeah.
That's the implication. V'shaftu v'yitzilu. V'shaftu, 10 make him guilty. 10 make him hitzilu, innocent. Now, so you need a majority of 2, so what are you going
to
do?
You
need to have 2. Okay, right? And the problem is you can't have a bezdin of equal numbers, you have to have 23.
I lost you in the before. How did you get 20? I know how we got 10. How did you get 20?
No, because the Torah says, v'shaftu ha'eda, v'hitzilu ha'eda. 10, an eda judges, and an eda saves. Right? So it says twice eda. Eidah is 10, so 10 and 10 is 20. Correct? No.
Yeah.
Because in terms of one Eidah, one community needs to judge, one community needs to save. Correct? So therefore you have 10 and 10, so that's 20. But you need at least a majority of 2 to come to the conclusion of the 10 and the 10. So you need 22. But you can't have an even number, so you make 23.
So what if you have 13 before it all said one way?
Yeah, but you need a bezin of 23.
You have your 10 and you have your 2 extra.
No, but the normal bezin, you need to have all options taken care of. So you need an option of 10 and 10 and 20 and 23. Then the Mishnah says it concludes with another thing. The Kamiyebi here, how many people need to be in a city that you should have a Sanhedrin of 23? How many people, you need a bezin of 23 to give capital punishment, right? But what size city can have a bezin of 23? So the Gemara says, Me'ev Esim, you need 120 people. And Ibn Nechemiah says, Masayim Ushleishim, 230 people.
Only 230?
Well, the first opinion says 120. The Gemara is going to learn it out later, exactly how we get this cheshmen of 120. Okay? But Ibn Nechemiah says you need 230. Why? Keneged Sari Asar is corresponding with the officers of 10. In Chumash, when they went to battle, it says there were Sari Alofim, officers over 1,000, Sari Meyas, Sari Chamishim, right? The smallest number of officers was Sari Asaris, officers over 10. That means one officer over 10 people. That's the minimum. Now, if you have a bezdin of 23, each one of them is an officer. And so each one needs 10 people under them, so to speak. So if you have 23, it's 230. So the Nechemiah says, the smallest city to have a bezdin of 23 has to be 230.
240. With 10 under each one.
Oh, so there's a machlekes over here, we'll see later, whether the 23 are a part of the 230 or not. In other words, when you say a bezdin has 120 in the city, or 230, Is the 23 part of that number or not? We'll see later in the Gemara. That the Rishonim will discuss. We'll see later when the Gemara talks about it.
Rabbi,
what?
Let's say that they find the guy not guilty.
Take the Gemara.
So he would set free, right?
He's off. Off the hook.
Right. He had to go to a city of refuge?
No. No, city of refuge is only if you killed somebody accidentally. And you need to be protected. They didn't have a court case about it. There's no question that the guy did it accidentally.
Okay, but they still have a court case.
But if a guy, yeah, no, he has run to city refuge. Then they bring him to Bezdin and they prove that he did it accidentally. They take him back. But if a guy killed somebody intentionally,
and they don't find him guilty.
Huh?
And they don't find him guilty.
And they don't find him guilty, he goes home.
Okay, but he's afraid of his life that he's...
No. It's only if you kill somebody accidentally.
But if
Bezdin rules that there's no proof that he did it, then the Avenger just can't kill him. If the Avenger kills him, the relative kills him, then the Avenger gets death.
So in what circumstance somebody stays in the city of refuge until the...
If somebody kills somebody accidentally, and we know that there's witnesses that he killed the guy accidentally, he fell off a ladder and killed him.
So he doesn't go to court, he just goes there straight.
Bezdin has to prove. If somebody says that he did it intentionally, then he goes to Bezdin. But if it's a given that he did it accidentally, he just runs to the city of refuge.
And stays there until
Kohen Gadol dies.
But he doesn't go to court?
Again, if there's a question if he did it accidentally, intentionally, then he has to go to court. But I'm saying once a Bezdin frees somebody from capital punishment, the guy goes home free. And another interesting din, which is unique about Yiddishkeit, the Torah says, the day the sentence came of death, he had to be killed that day.
The same day?
Same day. There was no death row in Yiddishkeit because it's cruelty. Yeah. A guy knows he's not nice, so you're going to let him... It's not like today you have 80 appeals and 80 this, and by the time the guy decided to kill him, the guy's 300 years old. He died anyway in court, in jail. In Bezdin, if a guy was... Bezdin decided the guy gets capital punishment, that day he got killed. Otherwise, it's torture. I'm getting killed. So you kill him right away, that day. There's no monkey business in Bezdin. But Bezdin, we'll see later in the Mishnah, a Bezdin that kills somebody once in 7 years.
70 or 70?
Two opinions in the Mishnah. One opinion says seven. One opinion says seven. The Halacha is seven. One opinion, because the Chacham holds seven. Well, a Bezdin kills somebody once in 7 years is called the killing Bezdin. Another opinion says 70 years. And Rabbi Kiva said, if I would be in the best, nobody would ever get killed. You make the witnesses so crazy, they wouldn't know what they're talking about. So the Chacham said to Rabbi Kiva, because of you, there'll be more murderers. Everybody knows, they'll get off.
Yeah.
But there was no monkey. In Bezdin, there was no monkey business. You killed the same day. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Right. So now the Gemara is going to explain the first part of the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah that monetary things are decided by a Bezdin of three. And then the Mishnah continues, Gzeles Chavileis, for stolen things and injury, is also three. So Gemara says, that's also money. Why is the Mishnah separating the two? The Mishnah says monetary laws is a Bezdin of three. Then the Mishnah says, if you steal or you hurt somebody physically, you're also a Bezdin of three. It's the same thing. It's all monetary cases. No capital punishment. Are stealing, thefts, and body injuries not mominous? Why is the Mishnah saying, dini mominous is with three? And then also, if you steal or hurt somebody bodily, then it's also three. It says, the Mishnah means like this. The Mishnah says an opening statement. Monetary laws are three. Then the Mishnah says, so to speak, and what are monetary laws? What are considered monetary laws? So the Mishnah mentions a whole bunch of things. Ma'ein k'tani, it means ma'ein dine mominus. What are considered dine mominus? Gzeles v'chavolus, cases of thefts and bodily injuries. Avhoidos v'halvos, but cases of admissions and loans are not. Okay?
What is a mahen? Mahen is
what?
We are injecting mahen in the Mishnah.
Yeah. In other words, and what are mominis? Okay, Umar is going to explain soon why they're not called, why admission and loans are also monetary issues. But it says like this, Sikha, I need it like this. If it only say monetary things are a bezdin of three, havamina afilo hedos alvos. I would think that even hadas and alvos would also be with three. Okay, but tan gzeilus v'chavolus. So it says gzeilus v'chavolus that are only stealing and bodily injuries. Those are a bezdin of three of monetary laws. So he says like this. If the Mishnah only said stealing and bodily injuries, and it didn't say dini mominis, havamino hu adin afilo hedos v'alvos, I would think that same thing would apply to loans and admissions. Why does it say gzeilus v'chavolus? Why does it say stealing and bodily injuries are three? Because the source of three is by bodily injuries and stealing. So b'gzeilus v'chavolus ksive, because by gzeilus and chavilus, by body injuries, the Torah says clearly three, because it says v'nikre balabayis elo alekim. Okay, you could bring the person closer to the judge, and again it says the word judge is twice more, which means three. So it says chavolus mali chavol begufi mali chavol b'mamein, and bodily injury. What's the difference if you hurt him with your money by stealing or you hurt him with his body? I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Tani dini maminis gzeilus chavolus avoidos alvosle. It teaches us are three, but not loans and admissions. In other words, like, I was going to explain exactly what this means. The Mishnah says like this, according to Rababu. The Gemara asks, why is the Mishnah saying money three and then stealing and bodily injuries three? So it says like this. The Mishnah is explaining that monetary laws are three. What is considered monetary laws that you must have three, not less? Stealing and bodily injuries. But loans and admissions, you don't need three. Once we'll see. We'll see you in a second. The Gemara is going to explain. What does this mean? Because I would think that the Torah says the word three, not the word, but the pasuk that teaches us three, by stealing and by bodily injuries. Okay, not by the other things. So if the Mishnah would only say bodily injuries, I would think only bodily injuries need three, but not the other things. So it says both together to teach us. Okay.
What's the word tzricha here?
Huh?
Tzricha, is that...
Smicha?
Tzricha.
Tzricha, we need it.
We need it. Is it an answer or?
No. So therefore, the Mishnah says we need both cases. We need the case to say dini mominis b'shleisha, and then it needs to say gzeilus v'chavilus. So the Mishnah says, why do you need both?
Yeah, but it's clarifying Rabba Bahu.
So according to Rabba Bahu, the Gemara says you must have both. If it only say dini mominis b'shleisha, I would include loans and admissions. If it would only say gzeilus v'chavilus, I would think mominis otherwise is different. So we need three. So now the Gemara says, why does loans not need three? So Gemara says, ulamai, why don't you need three by loans and admissions? Ilei medalei be'in and shleisha, if you say you don't need three, v'amei rababu shnaim shadonu dine mominis. But if, because Rabba Bu says, the same Rabba Bu, that if two people judge monetary laws, ain't dinayim din. There's no, it's not a din. Two can't judge, you need three. So the Gemara says, so what do you mean loans don't need three? Loans do need three. So Gemara says, Ela delay be'inim mumchim. You don't need ordained judges. Meaning like this.
Experts.
That had smicha. Experts that have smicha. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain a whole thing over here. There is knas, and there is monetary laws. There are fines, and there's monetary losses. This is giving an introduction, not relevant to mamash right now, but it's going to come up very soon. You have, for instance, what's the difference between a fine and a monetary damage?
Fine
Monetary damage, I break your window. It cost $100 to fix the window, I have to pay $100. I break your arm, right? Whatever the damages are, if there are, whatever I have to pay you. But it's like, there's no set amount, because every time is different. Then there's a fine. What does it mean, a fine? If you steal, the Torah says you pay double. That double is a fine, a knas. Okay?
Double of what?
Double of what you stole. Doesn't matter. But the concept of double. Or if you steal a shirt and you shecht it or sell it, then if the shirt is sell, you 4 or 5 times the amount.
That's not fixed either.
It is fixed. It's the fixed is, it's always double of what it was. The double, I'm saying, is fixed. Or shleishin shel eved. If you kill an eved, if an axe kills an eved, the Torah says 30 shekel. Whether the guy is worth $1,000 or 2 cents, yeah, you have to pay 30 shekel. That's a set amount. All those things are called knas. Knas must have somebody that has a mumcha, meaning somebody that has smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu on. Not what we have today, smicha. Today's smicha is a whole different story. Huh? Smicha, what it says by Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua v'samach yodai, or we find David HaMelech gave smicha one day to thousands of people. It was a whole different story. It's actually a literal, physical, putting the hand over the person and ordaining him with the power to judge capital punishment and fines and all that. So when the Gemara says like this, Gzeilis vin chavilis, body injuries, you need an expert of 3. I mean, a bezin of 3, but experts. When it says, though, you don't need for loans and admissions, the Gemara says you also need 3. But any 3 yokels could judge monetary issues.
But kosher.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so
you can have a kosher yokel too. Not all yokels are treif.
Yeah, they're 2 different yokels.
Yeah.
For loan also we need 3?
Yeah. We'll see later in the Gemara if it's a yachid mumche, if they both accept him, it's a different story. If 2 people accept in monetary laws, yeah? In Pekirv it says, Al tidon yechidi. But halachically, If two people have a litigation, and they say, you know what, we're going to go to this guy, and both people accept him, he has the power of a bezdin. If they accept it. Normally a bezdin cannot be a relative. You can't have a bezdin a relative. If both people accept to go to a relative, in monetary laws, not in knas or, you know, if they accept him, it's good.
To injury, if somebody...
That's what he says, chavilis need 3 mumchim.
Yeah, but if injury, somebody do something wrong with people, and they could handicap or something, how these 3 people estimate how much money, or if the guy doesn't have the money, what happened?
As so the Gemara says, how you evaluate it. For instance, I'll give you an example. It's going to sound funny, but this is what the Gemara says. If somebody chops off somebody's hand, God forbid, yeah? How much is a hand worth? I mean, it could be, who knows how much. So the Mishnah, the halacha is very simple. It doesn't sound, but this is what Hashem said. How much he'd be sold as a slave with 2 hands, how much he'd be sold as a slave with 1 hand, and that's how much the damage was. Doesn't matter. How much this guy, this person, Jack, whose hand was chopped off, yeah? How much Jack would be sold as a slave with 2 hands? How much Jack would be sold as a slave with 1 hand? And that difference is what you pay.
He's handicapped.
No. So repo is how much the doctor bills are.
Who pays for it?
The guy that cut off the hand. And Tsar. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So they say, how much, the Besdin estimates, how much a guy, let's say a guy has to lose his hand. You could do it with poison that doesn't hurt as much. You could chop it off, that hurts more. So how much a guy would be willing to do it this way, instead of this way? That's how much. So Besdin has to estimate. And Besdin, if they needed to, would speak to experts in the field. What?
I thought there was actually detail of
what the guy's profession and his age is?
No.
The guy really uses that? And says
the Gemara says there's something called Nezik Tzad Ipe Sheves and Beishas. Sheves is workers' comp. So the Gemara says, how do you pay workers' comp? I mean, the Gemara uses a different term. Basically, it's minimum wage. A guy could be making $1,000 an hour, okay? But because you did something to him, he's off work for a week, you don't pay him $1,000 an hour for the week. You pay a minimum wage. But the Gemara says, how much a cucumber watchman makes? Shema kishuim. In those days, it was minimum wage. So the Gemara says, you don't pay him, even though he works $1,000 an hour, he makes $1,000 an hour, you don't pay him, and he was out of work 10 hours. So the halach is, you don't pay him $10,000. You pay him minimum wage for 10 hours.
What happens if the guy, $1,000 an hour, has a lifestyle that requires that much of a...
That's not what you damaged the guy. This is the way the Torah evaluates. Nezek... How much you chop off the hand, how much he's worth as a slave with two hands or one hand. Tzad, how much a guy be willing to do it with poison instead of chopping it off. Doctor bills, okay, whatever the doctor bills cost, that's what he needs to pay. Shavis, workers' comp minimum wage. Ambitious, shame. So how much a person would be willing to take to do this thing to be shamed publicly. And therefore, Baishas, the Gemara says, is relative. Like you can have a prominent person that his shame is more worth much more than a simple guy who keeps embarrassing himself a whole day. So the embarrassment is more. So then Bezim would have to figure out that for this guy how much embarrassment would be. There's a story, Reb Shmuel Munkus, the famous Reb Shmuel Munkus, once came to a good friend of his, Reb Pinchas Reizes. The Pinchas Reizes, his father, was the head of the city of Shklov. He was it's a very, very prominent position. So the Pinchas Reizes was a tremendously great chassid, and he was very wealthy. And Reb Shmuel Munkus came from a trip, and he knocks on the Pinchas Reizes' house to come, and his wife opens the door. She says, you know, my husband's not home. He'll come home soon. Go rest. So with his muddy boots, you know, these people were extremely wealthy. They had these beds that were, you know, beautiful linens and beautiful things. And this guy laid down, Reb Shmuel Munkus laid down on the bed with his dirty boots and his dirty clothing, and he got the whole bed muddy and everything. So Mrs. Pinchas Reizes says to her husband, come on, the guy couldn't take off his boots. What is this? So Reb Pinchas Reizes, his wife was probably powerful. He went to Reb Shmuel Munkus. He said, Reb Shmuel, come on, he couldn't take it. So Reb Shmuel Munkus looks at him, he says, this is what you learned by the Alter Rebbe. This is what Chassidus is all about. You're worried about your dirty beds. I can't stay in this house. And he leaves. So, you're not a Chassid? You care about, what, are you crazy? This is what the Alter Rebbe taught you? And he left the house. He said, I'm not staying here anymore. So the Pinchas Rebbe was upset. He says, I'm asking you, Mechila, please forgive me. So Reb Shmuel Munkus said, I will forgive you on one condition. You know, kids used to ride a broomstick, you know, like the witches, the kids would ride on it around, not today, but years ago, kids played with their broomstick and they would run around the city. And this is a very big city, it's like a city like LA, and he was the head of the Jewish community, wealthy, brilliant scholars and everything. He says, if you take a broomstick, and you ride it around the whole city of Shklov, like the kids do, then I'll forgive you. And it says that Pinchas Reizes, without any question, did it. He took the broomstick and he went all around the city. It shows the bittul that he had to an older chassid, even though for him, you understand, he was a tremendously great scholar. All the maimarim that the Alter Rebbe has written is from his hanochas. It says, Alter Rebbe used to roll on the floor when he said, my mother and used to, the Pinchas Reizes would roll on the floor after him. Whatever, it's not for now. When if I bring, he asked me about it. So he says, the Pinchas Reizes was the guy that wrote down, edited Alter Rebbe's my mother, and yet, he did it, they took the broomstick and went all around the city, and then the Shmuel Munkus forgave him. And then he stayed again in his house.
Why did he do
that? So he said, Tzad,
Why did go with the dirty clothing over there? I mean,
why? Who did? Why?
Why did he with the muddy clothing go?
Because these people didn't care about Gashmias. And there was a concept in those days.
He didn't care about somebody else's?
Yeah. Because he thought that the Pinchas Reis shouldn't care about this either. He was his mashpia.
What about his wives? His wives
okay, the wives. Don't worry about the wives. They were stay good friends. Don't worry about it.
He continued to stay with the muddy pool?
The guy went in with his boots on her bed, and the next thing, her husband has to go around town doing this thing.
Yeah, that was the chassidim of old, and they loved each other so much you can't imagine.
That I understand. Why did he, in being such a person, holy person, then he...
Because in order to understand this story, you have to understand what it means not being involved in Gashmias. By these people, Gashmias played no role whatsoever. Nothing.
Ethics. But cleansing.
The Shmuel Munkus was a mensch.
He's a mensch to asking somebody.
Yeah. Because that was the bit of the takana that he needed to get back into the Hasidic world. These people were very holy people. The Shmuel Munkus, when the Alter Rebbe had to go to prison, when the for Yutas Kisser story. The Alter Rebbe discussed with Reb Shmuel Munkus if he should go or not. You know how great Reb Shmuel Munkus was? Reb Shmuel Munkus, you read all the stories about him standing, hanging himself outside the Alter Rebbe's window and all these things, say Yiska seven times. Reb Shmuel Munkus was a tzaddik of Tanya, and Reb Shmuel Munkus, the Alter Rebbe talked to him if he should go to prison. And Reb Shmuel Munkus said to the Alter Rebbe, you should go. And he said to him, because if you're a real Rebbe, if you're a Rebbe for real, nothing's going to happen to you. And if you're a fake Rebbe, then you deserve it for taking away the pleasures of this world from thousands and thousands of chassidim. So Shmuel Munkus was an extremely great man. He knew exactly what he was doing. Okay? People, nowadays, we wouldn't understand it because today we are so fagrept, we are so coarse, and we are so into gashmias. Okay? Do you know... Chassidim of old, I'm talking these, you have to understand, this is good over a cup of mashke, but Chassidim of old, if a guy bought a new suit, they would put him on the table and make it old.
They do that nowadays with jeans.
No, today you pay money for a whole. You're talking about Chassidim, Gashmis, mattered nothing to them.
It's not Gashmis, it's cleanliness. It's
so he wanted clean, to, he brought out a point. You see, there was an unbelievable point over here. We're missing the point because we're not connected to the point. That's how bad we are. We're missing the point. We're not even connected to the point to understand the point.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how bad we are? How low we are?
Going around the city, I understand with the broom. Okay, that's understood. That's a bit old. But the guy, he's muddy, has some respect as far as, just
somebody's property.
To damaging, we are learning about property.
He didn't damage the property.
What made he damage it?
He made it dirty, so you go wash it. He didn't tear it. There's a story with Alter Rebbe, also with the Shach, whatever, that... The Shach came to Alter Rebbe in a dream and told me, if you paskin like me in a certain din, I'll give you a thing that something's going wrong with you that your tefillin are not perfectly straight. So it says, the Alter Rebbe was given a shmekta. You know what shmekta is? Mm-hmm.
The box of the
snuff. Snuff. Yeah. So somebody gave the Alter Rebbe a sterling silver snuff box. So the way the story is told, the Rebbe corrected the story, the way the story is told, the Alter Rebbe broke off the cover to use it as a mirror for his tefillin. They didn't have mirrors in the like we have today. So there was, a reflection in the silver. So the way the story goes, the Alter Rebbe broke the snuff box, the cover, and he used it for his tefillin. So the Rebbe said it can't be, because the Alter Rebbe wasn't shaykh to break. So the Rebbe explains, the story is that there was a little pin holding it together, and the Alter Rebbe took off the pin. He didn't break it. The Alter Rebbe didn't break. These chassidim didn't break things. They didn't ruin the linen. I know we have no connection to this at all, but there's something to learn from the story.
He did it on purpose. Probably in you.
He did it on purpose. What do you think? What do you think? He wasn't the mensch.
He didn't damage.
He once came to the Alter Rebbe. Reb Shmuel, we'll finish with this. Reb Shmuel Munkus came to the Alter Rebbe the first time he saw the Alter Rebbe. He came to the city. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. He came to the city of Liozner, where the Alter Rebbe lived. The only light on in the city was in the Alter Rebbe's house. So he knocks on the Alter Rebbe's door. He didn't know the Alter Rebbe. He didn't know anything. He sees a light on. You come 3 o'clock in the morning. You knock on the door. Not like today. They'll call the cops. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Who's there?" Again, you talking about tzaddikim that knew exactly what's going on. So he says, "Reb Shmuel Munkus." So he said, "What do you want?" "I want to come in." The Alter Rebbe says, "I don't want to let you in." He says, "If you don't let me in," no, he says, "I'm going to break down the door." So the Alter Rebbe says, "I'm going to get my goy to get rid of you." So he says to the Alter Rebbe, "Rebbe, my goy is stronger than your goy. I mean, my Yetzirah is stronger than your Yetzirah." You're talking about different people, different...